All right. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 119, verse 46. Today I'm going to talk about show it. Well, what do you mean show it? Well, it says here in verse 46, and it says, "And I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed." So, when I mean show it, I mean we're here on this earth as Christians. We need to go out into the world and show why we are here. Show the light that we have. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew 28:19. And it says in verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." My first point is why we show it. Well, why do we show it? We show it because we need to stand for God. We need to go out into the world, show them that, hey, this is what God has to offer, and this is what I want. I want you to experience the life that I live. I want you to live for Christ, because that's what I do and I enjoy it. And my second point, and also, it's our commandment to go out. It's God commands us, and it says to go out and teach all nations. That's our job. My second point is, when do we show it? Going back to 46, Psalms 119:46, "I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed." Ashamed, man. Just right now, I'm a little nervous up here, but I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm gonna stand for what's right. I'm gonna stand at this pulpit and say, hey, this is what God wants me to do, and I'm gonna show what God wants me to do. We need to live it every day. When do we show it? Every day. At school, at work, at home, at church, everywhere. Everywhere you go, that's when we need to show it. And it will show when He will show us. He will show us. Psalms 119:105, it says, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We should trust Him. Talk to Him every day. Read our Bibles. That's why we have our Bibles, is to get what He wants us to learn. And so when we trust Him, that's when He'll show us. And so that's all I got for you today. Showing, that's what we need to do, to show the world of what God wants to give us. Thank you. I'm going to be in Acts 5 tonight, if you want to turn there. The title of my message today is, "God Wants Your Obedience, Not Your Understanding." Acts 5:29 says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" That's a pretty blank statement. I mean, it's pretty simple. You can get knowledge from that. It's, "We ought to obey God." That's a pretty solid statement Peter and the other apostles said here. As a kid, I would often ask, "Hey, can I do this?" "No." "Well, why not?" "Because I said so." I didn't need to have the understanding as to why I shouldn't be doing this thing. And as I got older, I'd say, "Well, why can't I do this?" "Because I said so." "Well, why not?" You'll know when you're older. That's something you'll know when you're older. You don't need to know it now. And a lot of times, I think as Christians, God will tell us to do or not to do something, and we'll say, "Why? Why can't I do that?" He'll say, "Because I said so, because His word says so." And we still try to combat that, and we try to get the understanding from that. And sometimes God just wants us to be like, "Okay, I'm going to obey this." We find in a couple accounts in scriptures of different places where God said to do something. And on the negative side of that, we find somebody like Jonah, who he cared a lot about the understanding of why God was telling him to go to Nineveh. He wasn't worried about obeying. I mean, clearly, he was a lot more worried about the understanding and, "Well, why would I go to this wicked place when they should just be burned up and be destroyed?" He thought he understood the will of God in his life more than God understood the will of God in his life. And I've been living the past year like that, and I've been thinking, "Oh, as long as I read my Bible, as long as I stay in church, that's fine." Well, but if that's not the will of God for you, which that is, that goes with the will of God, but if you're not diving into the will of God for your life, which for me is being a preacher, it's not going to be a fun life. And Jonah decided he knew what was better for him than God did, and God showed him he was very wrong and sent a fish to swallow him up. On the positive side of that, in scriptures, we find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who they didn't second question God's authority at all. They continued to pray to Him, when Nebuchadnezzar said, bow to this, they said, no, I'm going to keep standing for God. And even in the face of a fiery furnace, they still decided to obey God. So I think a lot of times we as Christians need to be more like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And whether we understand it or not, if God tells us to do something, that's what we need to do. If he wants you to understand it, he's going to make it clear as to why he wants you to do that thing. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, in everything give thanks. And that is, I mean, that's a command. And if you say, well, why do I give thanks? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's something where it's not a big deal if you don't know the understanding, because he gave you the understanding in the rest of that verse. So with all that, God wants your obedience, not your understanding.
All right, I'm preaching from St. John, chapter 15, verse 18 through 21. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. I want to talk about making a good difference in the world or a bad difference in the world. I want to use a water bottle as an example. This is a water bottle that looks good. It's a good representation of someone that's full of joy. Here's a water bottle that's been crushed and defeated, and no one will want to use this. This is going to go to the trash. This represents a life that has no joy of the Lord. It doesn't matter if you play in the NFL, the NBA, professional sports. I mean, there's nothing you can do with this water bottle. There's no benefit to it. But at salvation, this is how we look. Now this can be usable. Plus there's plenty of space in there to be filled up with God's blessings. So I got saved and God now can fill me up. And I can use that to be a blessing. And I wore this t-shirt on purpose because it has the word strong in there. But it doesn't mean like I'm strong. It means that God is strong. David wasn't strong, but God was strong. And as we Christians today need to make a good difference in this world, not like those of the bad water bottle, a bad difference in this world. Thank you.
If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Matthew 14, 30 and 31. It says in Matthew 14, 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and was beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? It says in Matthew 14, 30 that he was afraid and he asked God to save him. And God immediately reached out his hand and grabbed him. All you have to do is ask God, and he'll save you. Why doubt if he's going to respond, as it says in 14:31, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why doubt if he's going to respond, if he's always listening to you? So just ask him. Don't wait, just ask.
All right, so if you have your Bibles, we'll be in Hebrews 12, verse 2. I apologize, I have to get there too, in order for me to preach. The title for my message today is, He is Always There. And so my definition for that, in my words, is no matter what situation you're going through, hard times, he's going to be there for you through through anything from start to finish. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That first sentence, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Like I said, he's the author. He started it. He's the finisher. He's going to finish that story. Some examples from the Bible, when Abraham was called to go to a place that he's never been, God was there for him from start to finish. I've gone through a couple of hard times in my life. I've gone through life making decisions, and he's always been there for me from start to finish. And if you want to look at some more examples of what God has always been there for other people in the Bible, if you go to Hebrews 11, all the way to chapter 12, there's a whole list of a whole bunch of people that God was always there for from start to finish.
Amen.
Hello, hello. Okay, it's on. All right, good evening, everyone. Before I just get into the message, I do want to say, as a teenager, if you were listening to those testimonies, I want to personally ask you to keep me accountable as an accountability partner. Just, I need the accountability. I want to keep my decision. I want to keep my fire for God. And that's, I know that it's the same for all of my friends and stuff. So just please keep us accountable and just pray for us, please. All right, so if you have your Bibles, please turn to John chapter 15. I'm going to be reading verse number 1, and we're going to be reading 1, 2, 3, and 4. John chapter 15, 1 through 4. I'll give you a second to get there. John 15, 1 through 4. All right, here we go. John 15, 1 through 4. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it be able in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. My title for today is, He Ain't Done. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity for me to get up here and speak, Lord. Thank you for the other preacher boys, Lord, who just got up here and delivered your word, Lord. Thank you for using them and what you gave to them, Lord. Lord, please help this last message. Please help it to go well, and please help the rest of the night to be well. In His name I pray. Amen. There have been a lot of people today, or there is, every single human eventually has a done. Everyone in life eventually dies. There's always a done for each and every one person. But there's a done for athletes, there's a done for celebrities, actors, and even Christians. There's a done for everyone. But there is one person who's never going to be done, and that's our God. Our God won't ever be done. He won't ever stop being done. He ain't done moving. He ain't done working. He ain't done changing souls. I'll tell you that right now. We have evidence of God that He ain't done. And one point of evidence is that gym right over there. That gym is evidence that God ain't done. There's evidence in us teenagers. We just got back from camp. I don't know about everyone else here, but I'm kind of on fire for God right now. I'm feeling it. I ain't done, and He ain't done. He ain't done working, and He's going to keep working. There's also something about what just happened on Friday. That's big proof that God ain't done. Roe versus Wade, that's big proof. Praise God for His evidence. I want to give you three quick things that God ain't done doing and He won't stop doing. Number one, He ain't done winning. Let's go to Philippians 1, verse 6. Philippians 1, verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God ain't done winning. I know before anyone thinks, I want to say really quick that this message, this first point in the intro, is kind of similar to a message I preached a few weeks ago. But I was praying about it, and God told me to preach it, give this point here. And I just feel like us Christians, we don't realize that God ain't going to lose. He's not. He's going to continue to win. He ain't done winning. Our God ain't done winning. He won't stop winning. The way He beats the devil, the way He beats sin, the way He beats the world, and the way He beats flesh, He ain't done winning. My second point is, He ain't done working. Look at John 15, verse 2. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. When we do some work, we're going to see some fruit. And when God does work, we see His fruit. Just like I already said, with us getting back from camp, I hope you can see our fruit that we've given. But He ain't done working. He's working in the lives everywhere. He's working in churches, and He's working in even homes and everything. God's always going to keep working. And I tell you right now, He ain't done in America. Like I already said, on Friday, that was a big thing. I think America got God's attention. I believe we could be seeing a third great awakening come coming soon. If we keep working as Christians and we keep doing what God wants us to do. My third and final point is, God ain't done with you. John 15, verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. I know maybe you think God's done with me. I messed up too many times. I messed up in my past. I've messed up in my life. God can't use me. I'm not worthy enough for him. But let me tell you right now, you're not worthy enough, but God can use you. He ain't done with you and he won't ever be done with you. God will love you until forever and ever and ever. He came to this earth and he died on that cross for you and me 2,000 years ago because he ain't done with you. He wants you. God will work in you if you let him. So God already forgot all everything that is holding you back. God already forgot it all. All you got to do is let it go and give it to God. So remember that God ain't done winning. God ain't done working. And God ain't done with you. That's it. Thank you all.
Kiss the world goodbye and go.